Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
So, welcome back after a little break, and we are going to continue. Hopefully we will finish this chapter on repentance today. We'll see. So, we will start on page 172, somewhere in the middle, with our friendship.
Our friendship with sin is broken by confession of sins. Hatred for sin is a sign of true repentance, as is a firm resolve to lead a virtuous life. If you have become a habitual sinner, then confess more often, and soon you will be released from bondage to sin, and quickly and joyfully will you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He who constantly betrays his friends soon becomes their enemy, and they abandon him as a traitor. He who confesses his sins is soon abandoned by these sins, which were established and strengthened through the pride of fallen nature, since they cannot abide exposure and shame. He who sins willfully and intentionally, hoping to repent later, insidiously schemes against God. He will be struck down by unexpected death without the time he counted on to begin a life of virtue.
So as we are coming to the conclusion of the chapter on repentance, Brancheninov gives us, I would say, like five laws, spiritual laws connected with repentance. We can find it in these words, and it might be good to somehow repeat it and to think about this. And these laws can help us in our spiritual life. Without applying these laws, we will not move. We will be somewhere in the bottom, I would say, spiritual life, with full of good intentions, full of good feelings even, you know, but still not growing. And it is life in some kind of spiritual hunger, spiritual poverty. So what he says here, and the first law we can find in his words, is that a reign of sin is broken by confession of sins. Reign of sin is broken by confession of sins. And this is something what we have to realize, that and especially I think that this art of confession, how to make confession, was abandoned in our culture. That I think that there was no good formation, one thing, and another thing was that we might find many reasons why people stopped to use this sacrament, and now it is somehow sacrament which is not used. It's very rare, you know, that uh, There was one confession a few days ago, and after the confession I was talking with that person a little bit. And I told the person that, well, before, when I was like in my previous parish in Slovakia, during that time of confession, I was able to hear like 20 confessions. It was like normal that 1 hour before liturgy, sometimes even 30 confessions happened. You know, but because people were coming on a regular basis, like every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or 5 weeks, you know, it depended on each person, it was somehow easy because you don't need to give instruction all time. They already knew what they are supposed to do, how to fight with their weaknesses. They just felt and they needed renewal, forgiveness of sins. So many times there was no need to talk too much because it was like routine. So they came and they said this, and they received absolution with sometimes short encouragement if it was needed. So it is possible. St. John Paul II, he said that confession should not take more than 3 minutes. You know, he said this. Well, but now in these days or here, it is many times much longer because it is connected with spiritual guidance. Just because it is not so often, or there is a need to build something what is missing. But it is very important because, as he says, that this only through this sacrament we can break this reign of sin. It means what is happening when we are going to confession or we are preparing for confession. When we are preparing for confession, so we make mental or real list of our sins. We test our conscience and we try to look at our life in light of commandments which we find in gospel. And now it is not only that, I would say, let's say, imagine that I find myself that I'm angry. Okay? So, well, I confess that I was angry. But for me it is even opportunity to find out reasons. And I have to ask myself why I was angry. What kind of situation caused this anger in my life? And I can come to some kind of situations and I can analyze them. And I can ask, okay, but why this situation caused that I'm angry? And it might be that I hate that person who caused this anger. It might be that my opinion was not accepted. Even I was wrong. And I became angry because of that. So then I can go deeper and I realize, okay, this is my pride there. The real source is my anger is pride, so I put it on the list, there's pride in me. And I go step by step and my list is filled with simple things like pride, anger, you know, desire for satisfaction, for acknowledgement, vainglory. And What is interesting there, that what is happening during this testing of conscience? We heard from Bianca, you know, but it because he reminded us all this another spiritual law, which says that if you can name your sin, you make this sin weaker. It means once you find and name your passion, your sin, you will be able to defeat this sin easier next time. Because until you don't name the sin, you just describe some kind of feelings or state of your soul somehow, and without realizing and identifying the sin, you will be not ready for next temptation. You will be not ready to face this sin in future. So this is very important part in this preparation, that I put name to my sins, that I analyze my life in light of gospel, and I will find everything what is not incorrect, and I want to find that root, because it will help me to grow. And this is why he says that if I am confessing sins, I am breaking the reign of sin, because through this I am making this sin less powerful over me. I will be not easily defeated by this temptation if it comes. So it is the beginning of some kind of renewal of my soul. The second thing is that what we can find is the spiritual law that hate against sin is sign of true repentance. True repentance, which attracts or causes that I'm receiving forgiveness from God, is, it must be connected that I hate the sin. I hate the sin. And this is something what we say, yes, for sure, we hate the sin. But many times it is not true. We are lying to ourselves. We acknowledge that we broke the commandment. But true is that we really like the pleasure this commandment, this temptation, this sin brings. You know that it's connected with this discovering and finding out what is the sin in me. And it is not enough to acknowledge and confess that it's, if the sign of true repentance is that I will go to the state of hate against this sin, even what this sin brings. Does it make sense? Yeah. This is very important, because many times we, through intellect, we acknowledge the fact that we broke the commandment, but while we confess that, but actually there is some kind of residue of this love towards this pleasure. Then what we can find another rule, another law in these words is that confession often, like frequent confession, removes sinful habits. Habit is something what we acquire by repeating one thing again, 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 again. And many times we don't even realize, but once we realize that, we discover this passion in us. So it is impossible to defeat this or remove this habit only through our will. There is a need for this sacramental healing through confessing. Because remember, when if we and it means that it might be that I will need confession almost every day sometime. I remember one man who somehow started fight with one his habit, bad habit. And I told him, well, look, if you really want, so you cannot allow yourself to stay in sin if it comes, even like for one day. I said, well, come always. And the truth is that he was coming almost like every day or every other day, you know, confessing that it was like, for him, it was, you could see that he was not happy about that. It was humiliation for him. But after like months and a half, he started to come like once per 5 days, you know, for another like 2 months, 3 months, and then once per week, then once per 2 weeks. And actually, it took a long time, but he was freed from this habit. But he said, well, without that, like confession, he would never do this. Because this confession always gave him some kind of boost, because he would give up. And well, so he followed his rule and he was freed. So this is the tool how we can change ourselves. Without God's help, it would be impossible. Because why it is impossible? Because sin causes that God's grace goes away. We are saying no to grace. And without God's grace, we are not able to do anything good. Anything good. All right. Then another law is that confession of sins leads to virtuous life. So it means that it is not only that we are renewing ourselves, but this making confession again very often, as we need, causes that we pay more and more attention to our life. You know, because if you realize that, okay, if I want to live life with God, it means to live in grace. Really, and then when I discover my bad habits, so it is sobering a little bit, because I say, well, okay, then what happens if I go for confession and after 2 days I commit the same sin, what now? So if I keep this in mind that, well, I need another confession, just this fact that I will need another confession, just this thought gives you additional strength to say no in temptation. To say no in temptation. You try to avoid that. So it is a help for a person. And because we are sensitive to what is bad through non-stop testing our conscience, we are discovering in the same time what is beautiful, what is nice. So we are trying to grow in virtues, it means in these good habits which you have. So for example, if somebody feels and fights with pride and he keeps that in mind all time, that, well, this is my weakness, so that person would welcome opportunities when he can practice humility. So it means that there will be situation when he's something, some kind of injustice would happen to that person, but the person would not be angry. He said, well, thank you, God, because of that you are trying to heal my pride, to teach me how to be humble. So it means that, instead of pride, the person is practicing opposite humility and is growing in that. And the last law, spiritual law, if we can call it this way, is that if we delay this confession, if we delay and we say, well, later, 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 this attracts God's punishment. And he says that, well, how it is written here, he will be struck down by unexpected death without the time he counted on to begin a life of virtue. That the time later will be not given to the person. Because if I have this calling for repentance and I decline that and I don't use that and I say to this grace, no, later, so, well, this is something what deserves punishment. Because I am playing with God's grace, with God's love. I am refusing acceptance, this God's offer for cleansing my soul and giving me grace. And this is very, very, very true. This is truth there. I was thinking about that and looking back, I have always like small parishes, but you really know all people there very well. And one thing is that it was like a rule, I cannot recall sudden death without sacraments of anybody who was taking care of this part. If somebody was coming for confession and doing this repentance, trying to cleanse the soul with some kind of serious, the person never left the world without consolation, which comes from sacraments. Well, there were like sudden death too, but well, many times it was that, well, it was like somebody came for confession on a regular basis and the person got like heart attack next day or day after 2 days, you know, but still, well, you can assume there was this state of grace, you know, I mean, he died or she died. But it was and many times people who didn't care about that they died and or they were dying, but their relatives just didn't call me. So it was like, or there were like situations that well, I don't want to go into details, but I'm just saying that this rule, I can see it's true, and my experience is that God gives this opportunity to everybody who cared during life about spiritual life, about this good relation between this and about repentance. God gives this grace to person, even in these cases. You can say too, because many times we go together to visit sick people, and how many times we come and they say nurse says or relatives, well, she or he already doesn't react, doesn't say anything, doesn't know anything. And I, when I come to the person and say, this is Father Miron here, and I want to give you absolution if you wish. You can see like open eyes and or just movement of hands or some kind of visible sign that the person understands that it is always like moment when you really feel that God is here, God's grace is here, and you see miracles. I cannot help myself, I probably mentioned that before sometimes that about Lipenko. They told that, well, she already, this brain death, she was that, well, her brain is not working. I came to her and I said, this Father Miron, and do you want confession or absolution? See? And she was like, this hand. I said, well, what kind of death, brain death it is? It might be, but God's grace is always more powerful than our natural, like, the settings of this world. God can, well, anyway.
You should tell them the story of your uncle and that young man.
Who?
Your uncle. I don't know if it was Uyo or František.
About what?
So, we spoke to the chłopca, potem ten chłopiec nie zemlał.
Yeah. There was one story, and well, this a little bit different, but well, sometimes it is for priests, it's obligation, you know, to, well, priests cannot play with that. My uncle and godfather, he said once that there was something what really touched him was that he was hearing confessions before liturgy on Sunday, and there was like young man was in line, but he was already late for the liturgy, so he told him, come later. You know, because he had to start full church of people, so he wanted to start. And he said during like litany, and then he had this like intensive feeling of like urge that, well, you should hear confession than the young man. So he pointed, he come here, and he heard his confession like during a reading of epistle, you know, behind the altar. You know, that he called him then and said, well, so, and then he came home, and after 3 hours he got message that this young man died. They went after liturgy, they went with friends to like dam for to spend a Sunday afternoon and he drunk. You know? And he said he would not wait after liturgy for confession because he had already plans to go with friends there. I said, well, he said, I'm so happy that I was listening to this urge. And even against like liturgical like orders, he heard his confession during the epistle and he said, well, it served for salvation of his soul. You know, for sure that God really works. That if we are really serious about this, about cleansing our soul, we can have hope that what we were doing all our life, so God will give us this ability to hear or to be open for His grace when, and that's the most important moment in our life. All right. All right, so let's continue.
All sins, whether done in word, deed, or thought, are completely washed away by confession. but in order to erase sinful, deep-rooted habits from our hearts, we need time. We need to repent constantly. Constant repentance is constant contrition, constant battle with thoughts and feelings that were long hidden in the depths of the heart by sinful passions, constant bridling of our flesh, constant humble prayer, and frequent confession.
Yeah. Well, these words are for us because especially in our time, it's more important to listen what he says, because we forgot that sometimes we need to wait, that we need to give time for something, because usually, you know, that before, many things taught you to wait. Many times I remember I was surprised that I ordered something through Amazon and next day it was here. Or if you are in a hurry, you can, for example, if you need a book, some kind, so you can go and take like Kindle version. So it is like here immediately. But I remember I recall that, well, when I was in seminary, I ordered a book and it came like after 3 weeks. You know that it was quite difficult to get something you order, so you had to have patience, you know? And if you take the communication before you wrote a letter, you sent it, it went like 3 days somewhere, then you waited another like 3 days to get the answer, if person answered immediately, so you had what, 1 week. So you thought what you are going to write, and then you read very carefully what was written to you. But now everything is so fast that we expect fruit immediately. And I think that this some kind of state of our life has effect on our spiritual life. We expect instant like changes, improvements. You know that we want immediately. We read, for example, some kind of spiritual literature, and we are excited to gain. About gaining some kind of virtue, that we want to be humble, and we think that it might come immediately because of our decision, and it doesn't come. So it doesn't work in spiritual life, and this is why he tells us that, well, we need time for this repentance to form our lives. And it's important because if we don't get immediately or in short time what we wish for, so it can come some kind of we are going down in spirit, and we are sad, recklessness, you know, the spirit of recklessness, and we give up very, very soon and fast. We say it's not worthy. We are not able to admit that this removal of bad habits and sins which repeats, that it not only takes time, but it takes some kind of ascetical effort, pain, when I am forcing myself to change myself. Saint Gregory the Great says that many people, they want to be humble, but they are not able to receive any shame from other people, or, you know, shameful. They are not able to accept that. Many people, they want to lead simple life, but they want to have everything for pleasure of body. You know, many people, they want to live purity, pure life, but they are not willing to mortify their senses. Many people, they want to have riches, but, well, they don't work for them. They just want this glory which comes from other people for their virtues. So he says that they want to be glorified like war heroes without going to war. And but, well, true is that Christian life is a life of work, hard work. I said yesterday, I used this phrase, they often, the Holy Fathers often use that you have to give blood to receive spirit. It means that if you want to live in Holy Spirit, you have to really give blood. It means to work so hard to make yourself ready to receive this gift. If you don't fight, you know, work hard, if you don't really make effort day by day, so you will never move to this position or this state when you are able to receive this big God's gifts. And but this is something what should be like mark of spiritual life, mark of Christians. You know, Christianity is not easy life. It is not for some kind of, it's not like some kind of badge in society, I'm Christian, you know. No, if this is missing in our Christian life, this presence of this non-stop battle for perfectness, so we are no Christians. You have a question or comment?
St. Augustine, in his letter to the preachers, was saying that people want to do the love part of it, but they don't want to do any of the suffering.
So yeah.
I was just read that today, this morning.
Yeah, this is something, but This thought was always like present, not always, but during the history, in majority it was present in understanding of Christian life. But I think that last, I would say century, it went down this understanding. It was down this understanding, and it is because we abandoned this teaching about spiritual life, this rich tradition which was given us through generation to generation. This was stopped in some way, because if you take the spiritual writers from 3rd century up to 19th century, even now, so you can find the same teaching again and again. So when we are reading like Brianchen, you know, it's 19th century. But, and then you read, for example, John Climac, or you read Isaac the Syrian, or others from 6th, 7th century, these writers, you find unbroken teaching, the same teaching, maybe using different style and words, you know, but it is the same teaching. It's not changed, because spiritual life and soul of person is is not changed. The same soul, and there are the same spiritual laws we have to apply. But it was changed. And it was last Thursday, I said, well, that look at how it is really, if you start to think about what we are doing many times in our Christians, like even parishes, that how our thinking was changed. Like I was using this example that how many times we say we see these signs or on church signs or on flyers, and we did it for sure too, you know, in our church, in many on many flyers, everybody's welcomed. Everybody's welcomed. What is true, but we assume that everybody wants to grow in faith, is taking seriously takes the salvation. But just this phrase that everybody is welcome, it means that we are putting the level very, very low. And this phrase causes that we don't realize that. But if somebody comes, and for sure we can notice that, well, not everything's okay there, you know, like there are some kind of things which are disturbing, but we try to, okay, you know, doesn't matter, you know, just come, and we have this hope that we can help that person to somehow grow. What is good thing? But we don't realize that in some way we are telling through our approach or our reaction, we are telling some kind of message to that person that you are fine. Don't worry, you are fine. Instead of, look, it's we can help you. There is a need, or I would not say that personally, but like parish should be place with some kind of standards. That people should know that if I am entering a parish, so there will be some kind of demands from me on spiritual level. That this is, and we forgot or we lost this ability of parishes, of this community of believers, to have this formation aspect. You know, that it's not place when person is somehow to push to reach up, to go up. You know, it's not challenging place. It is just somehow some kind of community when we try to love each other, what is fine. But the goal is not only to love each other, the goal is salvation of souls. And if we don't push to this goal, if this goal is not present in some in life of parish, the parish cannot fulfill its role. It'll be just organization when people can have good time there, but there is no this inspiration or this push, this challenge to really to have support.
I think a lot of America kind of changed in the 90s, because they were pushing everyone gets a trophy and you don't have to strive to be better than the other person. So society has kind of indoctrinated us into this mediocrity and brought everything down. Like, oh, everyone needs to be equal, and so it overturned into the religious part of it too. I mean, everyone, we can do all that. We'll bring down our standards so that everyone can be a part of us.
Yeah, you are right. So we brought down our standards, but well, it says that we are not aware and we don't understand what spiritual life is about. Mm-hmm. you know, if we were able to adopt these new standards or this push, what is diabolic push? You know, because once you, well, it's destroying our parishes, the spirit. I remember one priest, my friend, I think that I said it on Saturday, that I mentioned that he was preparing one man for baptism and convert. And he was telling me how much joy this man gives him, because he said, well, this is amazing how he's on fire, that he wants to do things and he's trying hard. I said, this is, and then he added after many these good things, he said, well, I just feel so sorry that once he is baptized and he becomes real parishioners, our people will put him down. And it was not criticism. He didn't say that now he was like criticizing people, but he just acknowledged the fact that his parish was not community which would able to encourage and somebody in faith to hold in faith and to try to push to help him keep this high standard. He said he would go down, and we have converts in our church too, many, and yes, they have problems. You know that there are some aspects they see differently. They would expect something else, but because of love and understanding, you know, they just tolerate that. But it's not pleasant to see that in some aspects they have to go lower to satisfy like level, you know, that, you know, and I think it has to be painful for them. And so I mean that like this book study, and well, it might help to build new community, new spirit, you know, and to change even like whole parish. All right, let's, if there is no comments or something, let's do two more paragraphs. And
okay. Brothers, through your own willful sin, we have lost our holy innocence, which was untouched not only by sinful deed, but even knowledge of evil, the innocence into which we were created by the hands of the Maker. We lost even that innocence that was restored to us in baptism. All along life's path, we have stained our robes, made white by the Redeemer with our various sins. Now we have only one kind of water left for washing, the water of repentance. What will happen to us when we scorn even this laver? We will have to stand before God with souls defiled by sins, and he will look with loathing on our foul soul and will condemn it to the fires of Gehenna. Wash yourselves, says God to us sinners. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Come now and let us reason together. How will this judgment of God end? This judgment of repentance to which God incessantly calls the sinner during his earthly life? When a person recognizes his sinfulness, sincerely repents, and determines to improve, then God judges the person according to these words. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
So this encouragement given to us, an encouragement to really take seriously that work of repentance in our life, that we are supposed really understand what is going on through this act of repentance. And somehow like urge that we have to really pay attention with some kind of intention, you know, even to do violence. Because, look, one thing is that when we start seriously take commandments of Christ, at that moment we are discovering our weaknesses. If you want to know what is in your heart, try to keep commandments in fullness. Once you do this, this is showing you what is really in you. And many times when we have good will and we try and we discover what is in our heart, there is this temptation to stop because it seems to are too much. You know, it is like, usually this is my problem. I know, like, usually that, you know, that like garage is place when you put all your things you don't need or something, you know, and later, and after like while, the garage is full of things and mess. And one day you, and this is my case, one day you open a garage as with intention, now I'm going to make order in this garage. You open, you look, you see that mess, you close that garage next time, you know. I think that this is the same thing, I think, in spiritual life, that even if we have this, like, desire to follow God's commandments, and when we discover this, what kind of mess in our life, we run away. We say, well, not today. We feel that, well, we are not able even to deal with that. We don't want it. It's too much. But this is why he somehow puts these words, this challenge for us, that we have to face to this with zeal, with this zeal for God, zeal for our soul. And Saint Theophan the Recluse, he says that if you don't have this zeal, you are poor Christian. You are like sleepy, without life. You are not. You are not hot, not cold, and this life is no life. And he says that only if we have this zeal, this desire for growth, you know, for this cleaning of our heart, desire to please God in everything, then we start to live a real Christian life. And we should pray for this zeal, this gift from God. We should ask him that he makes us really on fire with this zeal to make even little step every day. And this zeal leads then that the spirit of repentance, this and acts of repentance become like our lifestyle even, that we will be like non-stop in this state, which helps us to really remove or make ourselves free from the reign of sin and to become real servants of God. Okay, I think that we'll stop here.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.